To understand why Mali makes the rest of West Africa so nervous, you need to look at a timeline of Mali's recent history, and then at a map. On the timeline, you find, all within the last decade or so, a grim litany of civil conflict, Islamist insurrection, terrorist insurgency, foreign military intervention, coups d'état, and general shambles. On the map, you note that landlocked Mali shares borders, long, permeable, barely policed borders, with seven other countries, all with more than enough problems of their own, all rightly wary of how potentially exportable Mali's troubles might be. This is why leaders from the regional bloc ECOWAS, the 15-member Economic Community of West African States, have been meeting via video conference this week in an attempt to resolve a political crisis in Mali which seems, on form, unlikely to end well for Mali or for anyone else in the vicinity.
With your cooperation and the good people of Mali who want to solve the problems, not about individuals but about the collective interests of the country, I think we'll have a way of resolving the issues. This must be man-made issues, not earthquakes that we have no control. So I believe we'll be able to get something done. You will work with us and we'll succeed.
The current crisis began with the most recent elections to Mali's parliament, conducted over two rounds of voting in March and April. It was not, it is fair to say, a textbook demonstration of orderly democracy at work. Polling was marred by violence, intimidation of voters and election officials, and sundry shenanigans.
Vowing to overthrow the government are fighters linked to the ISGS and Al-Qaeda. They called for a boycott of the elections after the kidnapping of opposition leader Soumaila Cisse 3 weeks ago.
More sensationally, 3 days before polls opened, prominent opposition leader Soumaila Cisse of the Union for Republic and Democracy Party and three times a candidate for Mali's presidency was kidnapped while campaigning near Timbuktu. As of this broadcast, nothing is known of either Cisse's captors or his whereabouts. Matters did not improve after the vote. The election looked a victory of sorts for the Rally for Mali party of President Ibrahim Boubacar Keita. RPM won the most seats, though not a majority. Since then, however, President Keita's name has rarely appeared in news bulletins without being prefaced by one of the two most ominous adjectives in the political lexicon: embattled or beleaguered.
Plan to take the power, and we are staying here until he resigns. That today is the last day of presidency of President Ibrahim Boubacar Keita. Yes. And we are calling everybody to come out to support this popular riot.
Huge demonstrations filled the streets of Bamako, Mali's capital, on June 5th. The protests were not so much about anything in particular as everything in general, and became violent. As they continued into July, opposition figureheads were arrested and several protesters shot dead by security forces. The resolution of the protesters hardened to the extent that the demonstrations have become a movement with a name: M5RFP, a broad-based dissident coalition whose most prominent voice is Mahmoud Diko, an influential imam of firm opinions, firmest of all his opinion that President Keita, a former ally, should quit.
It's true that people were a bit frustrated after the meeting. But the dialogue isn't totally over. They no longer support deposing the head of state because it would cause more problems than it would solve. They have to evolve. The problem with Mali isn't the government itself, it's the way it's governed, and that needs to be discussed at more depth. I understand the frustrations of young people, but they shouldn't turn to violence.
Diko has form for hounding politicians out of their jobs. Last year, he orchestrated the protests that brought down Prime Minister Soumaila Boubacar Keita. It is not difficult to understand why other West African leaders are so keen to get a grip on proceedings. If any one thing could strike them as an unhappier prospect than Mali disintegrating entirely and spreading chaos beyond its borders, it might well be the prospect of Mali reorienting around a charismatic theocrat and broadcasting holy fervour throughout the region. A good few ECOWAS leaders will also be reluctant to encourage the example of angry mobs, even, or perhaps especially, justifiably angry mobs, forcing a president from office. The solution suggested by ECOWAS is that President Keita form a national unity government and share power with his opponents. By way of further concession to those opponents, ECOWAS have also urged the resignations of 31 Malian MPs whose elections were contested and an inquiry into the government's violent response to this year's demonstrations. ECOWAS have also demanded the release of Soumaïla Cissé by whoever is holding him. They have reiterated, however, that President Keita's tenure is a red line. They will not support his removal. As we go to air, the opposition forces trading as M5RFP sound unenthused by this pitch. They want President Keita gone and don't wish to wait until his term expires in 2023. Much now depends on Mahmoud Diko, who has a decision to make about how close to the brink he wants to push Mali. Those close to the cleric claim he harbours no aspirations to high office himself. But nobody doubts who, right now, is the most powerful person in the country. For Monocle 24, I'm Andrew Miller.